you searching for good, conservative, theologically sound Bible books, commentaries, and teaching materials. Conservative Theological University has about 6,000 titles and about 120,000 volumes available. Shop today at conservative.edu, scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. We pray that you do this each and every day. We look forward to your dialogue and discussion also as you call in. Let me do a little footnote to some of the things that's been said in relationship to our broadcast and what we need to do. We're searching for those that will have a continual monthly investment in Let's Face the Issues. Let me say this. I'm looking at a book. Some might think it's not popular. We're going to talk about Barack Hussein Obama and his play in the deep state scheme to destroy an American president. It's treason, in my opinion. There's a book that's been on the market, and it's not widely found today. It's called Obama: Why Black America Should Have Doubts. The foreword in it is by Dr. Alveda King, the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King. It's about a 140-page book, and it brings out detail after detail after detail about Barack Hussein Obama's background, his life, his upbringing, what he stands for, what he wants to do, what he wanted to do, what he has done. And I believe it's a book that should be in the hands of every reader if you really want to know where we are and what's taking place with the deep state even today. I'm going to offer this. We're offering this book. Any donation, any contribution sent to underwrite the radio broadcast, $5, $10, $100, $50, we're going to send you this book. We'll pay the postage on it. It's a $20 book, and we'll ship that to you free, and we'll pay for the postage. For any contribution, designated radio, Let's Face the Issues, send it to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. Be sure with your check a little note that says, I want the Obama book. And we'll send that to you free and postage paid. Looking forward to the dialogue and discussion that you'll have with us on the broadcast each and every day. And I would invite you to invite others. Everybody in your, handheld device, that your contacts, send them a note telling them what you find, what you hear, whether it's a blessing to you on Let's Face the Issues, inviting them to tune in. Give them the call letters and how they can tune in each and every day, 11:30 to 12:30, then replay it at night, and we look forward to having dialogue and discussion. In just a moment, we're going to open our lines again and start taking our telephone calls, but let me touch on this. I touched on it just before the news broadcast break. Burned alive, Republican lawmaker gets doused in gasoline, set on fire in his office. Councilman was in office when attacker forced his way in with a 5-gallon fuel container. Danville, Virginia City Councilman Lee Volger was doused in gasoline and set on fire in his own office. According to the report, the attacker identified, not given his name, 29 years old, from Danville, threw 5 gallons of gasoline on Volger before setting him on fire. The attacker forced his way into the magazine's office where Vogel was working and was visiting and poured a 5-gallon container of gas on him. Lee attempted to flee, ran to the front of the building. The individual followed him and set him on fire. Vogel was flown to the UNC burn unit in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. A Virginia lawmaker was doused in 5 gallons of fire, set on fire, et cetera, et cetera. It's a 5-page article. What caused that? Now, we could say, well, I understand that it's because of his political views. This may be somebody that was against him politically, et cetera, et cetera. The bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, is from a wicked heart. Again, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart's deceitful and wicked. Who can know it? And yet, ladies and gentlemen, we have those that are wanting to make excuses for things like that taking place. But it's because we're living in perilous times. Perilous times. 2 Timothy 3:1 where that word means evil, violent, wickedness. And ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing that bubbling to the top more and more every day. I believe Davis is on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Youngblood. You know, we got to think back. About 12 years ago, a little over, we elected a Muslim in the United States as our president. That began to lay the foundation and pave the way for what's going on now in New York with this one wanting to be the mayor there, and it seemed like he may be. And now other states that are following wanting to get more Muslim into positions where they can control what's going on in the Congress and making things for us to live under every day in our life. This is just fulfilling what's going on with everything. But we got to remember, we've been indoctrinated with Muslim, and even though their own Quran tells exactly what they do whenever they say, if we say something against them, we'll cut their heads off. And we say they're violent? No, no, they must not be. You know, something wrong somewhere or another, and there should never be a two-state solution for Israel's problem now in the Golden Heights and in Israel.
Absolutely. Davis, let me just touch on that and do a little parenthetical footnote to that. With Islam, the goal is total domination. With Islam, there are those in America that says, well, most of Islam are peaceful, etc. In my book, Is Islam Tolerant, 350 pages, 25 chapters, Is Islam Tolerant? I state in there that, and it is proof from research, that in every city, every state, every nation around the globe where Islam ever enters, they are dormant and sound, look peaceful and pliable and applicable in their lives with what is taking place until they reach the level of 2-6% in population. Then they rise up and demand halal food in the schools. They demand their way. They demand that they have the right, the opportunity to have prayer 5 times a day on the loudspeakers, just as you find in Dearborn, Michigan today. That is the end goal for Islam around the world. And the mindset is, as you said, and it's the Quran is filled with surah after surah after surah. We call them verse and chapters in the Holy Bible, but it's filled with the fact that it is to destroy, to kill, to slaughter, to behead every non-Muslim and every Jew. That's the mindset. And it's an impossibility for that mindset to be, if you please, cohabitating in the same nation as nation after nation. Canada is the latest one that says we want a two-state solution. It's an impossibility to have the enemy living within the camp. Picture, if you will, Davis, and I want your response on it. What if the UN were to say, we want half of America, or we want state after state after state to be Islamically dominated, and that America's got to tolerate it, embrace it, and it's the enemy to destroy from within. What would we think as Americans? How would we respond to that? Well, maybe that's a bad question, because we got politicians that probably would embrace it. But that's exactly what nation after nation, including the United Nations, are now saying, demanding that Israel accept the Islamic jihadist inside their nation. My question is, Davis, why can't Syria embrace the Palestinians? Why can't Egypt embrace and house and have a state in their state for the Islamic jihadist? if there's a mindset that says that, why can't these other nations that promote, why don't we have that in Canada, where we just simply say part of Canada is going to be an Islamic jihadist nation, where there's a two-state solution or a two-nation solution for Canada? Why don't we apply it in that fashion? It is because it is so unreal, unrealistic, and non-compatible with that which is God's plan. In fact, God's plan is, and I'll touch on this, and I'd love to have your opinion, in Ezekiel 37, verse 21 to 22, "And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land." Verse 22, Ezekiel 37, "I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all, and they will be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all." Now, I understand the prophetic sense of that. May 15, 1948, Israel became a nation gathered from the diaspora from around the globe. And God brought them together as one nation. And the future tense of this are found in Ezekiel 37. The future tense is that the Lord Jesus Christ will be King of kings and Lord of lords. There'll be no more division. But the applicable statement today would be, no such thing as dividing Israel. God says in Ezekiel 38, it's my land, my people, over and over and over. What say you?
Well, God promised that to Abraham and his descendants, and he said they would be one nation. And what they're doing, they're defying what God said, but that's just what the Quran does and everything. It's against what God has said to do. They're going to try to destroy everything in the world that God has created and for their own benefit. And the thing about it, too, is, right now, I understand that the Muslim reproduction is about 4 to 1 of us Christians living in the United States. So it's pretty soon we're going to be overpopulated with the new birth that's going to support it whenever it's being enacted into our society and our system now to govern our nation. We're in deep trouble. And maybe these other nations are just a little smarter than we are. They don't want them, but we say, well, bring them on over here. We'll take them.
Well, Harper, there's one thing that I will elaborate on what you just said. In American culture, we're having, I believe it's like 1.8 children per couple. With Islam, it's like 8.9. It's almost 9 children per couple. And they, the Muslims, have bragged on the fact that we will dominate America just through our reproduction. And the demographers in 2009, demographers said that by 2050, America would be an Islamically controlled nation. And it's as though we're dumb, stupid, and blind as politicians in America that we are putting that on the fast track. You can look at all of France today, look at all of Germany today, look at most of Europe today, and you'll find it's dominated by Islam. All of the politicians are Islamic. You go back in history to 1960, and you look at the Netherlands. In the Netherlands, they had open border policy that all of the Islamics could come on in. By 1995, they began to realize we're being controlled by Islam. They tried to pass legislation. That is the Netherlands. They tried to pass legislation. I record this, by the way, in my book, is Islam Tolerant, the 25th chapter. But they tried to pass legislation to shut down the Islamic invasion by immigration, and they found that the politicians which were in office were Islamic and would not pass such legislation. It is a problem today in every nation that's had open borders. Right at this very moment, they're trying to figure out in France how to stop the invasion of Islam. Germany's trying to figure out how to stop the invasion of Islam. All of Europe today is overtaken by, controlled by, dominated by Islam. There's some places in London that police officers will not even go because they're dominated by Islam. And you have a culture today in all of Africa, the continent of Africa, where Islam and the Islamic jihadists are slaughtering Christians by the thousands, and it's not on the news media at all. What say you?
Oh, I say, you know, I think it's time that those non voter Christian people in the United States that didn't vote this last time, they better get off of their stool of do-nothing and get on the polls and vote this time. And these politicians that we got in there now that's supporting all this stuff, let's root them out of there and try to get Christian representatives in control of our Congress and our government so that we can have a nation. You know, we were supposed to be identified as a nation, under God, but it's strictly going in the opposite direction.
Well, Harper, one of the things we find, and it's a sad commentary, we have basically abandoned God. We have basically shut God out. We basically spit in the face of God, especially when it comes to the socialist, Marxist, communist agenda. When it comes to the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, it's a spit in the face of God. God said he created male and female, and yet we find in the sodomite agenda that there's supposed to be 157 genders. One of the major things that they're anti-Trump about, because Trump has simply supported the word of God in saying there's only male and female, not a multitude of other genders. And so I believe that we need to, as Christians, wake up, sit up, stand up, be heard, be seen, be salt and light, while we yet have a constitutional republic to protect. Harper, Brother Davis, thank you so much, and God bless you for the call.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you for calling. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. What about, ladies and gentlemen, in New York City? A 27-year-old gunman, let me read you the headline. New York City gunman appeared to have a grievance against NFL, went to the wrong elevator bank in deadly rampage, according to the mayor. I'll read you two paragraphs. The shooting spree in New York City skyscraper left multiple people dead. The gunman who stormed the high-rise building in the heart of New York City on Monday evening was trying to target the NFL headquarters, but took the wrong elevator, Eric Adams said. The gunman identified, and I'll not read his name, accidentally entered the wrong elevator bank. He said he went to the floor where Rudin, R-U-D-I-N, management was located. Adams added that the gunman alluded to have suffered from CTE and that he had a grievance against NFL. Ladies and gentlemen, this was news, supposedly, less than 24 hours after the shooting. What caused this man to go in and shoot so many people and then take his own life? Ladies and gentlemen, including a New York police officer that was off duty serving as security guard in the building, the media appears to make an excuse for his murderous rampage, that he somehow, some way, had emotional, mental issues. He was injured in high school football, supposedly. Some of the media are saying that we have a gun problem in America. But according to the Bible, we have an idiot problem. In fact, it was Senator John Kennedy said, we don't have a gun problem, we have an idiot problem. We don't need to control guns, we need to control idiots in America. And I believe that's probably spoken pretty blatantly, but pretty correctly from the standpoint. Simply put, we have abandoned God, we've abandoned God's word, and as a result of that, we're reaping what we've sown. We sow to the wind, we're going to reap the whirlwind, according to the scripture. I believe we have Lily on the line. Lily, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. God bless you. Look, my first part of what I'd like to ask you to explain, what is the connection between Islam and Muslim? I'm not sure about. I know is it one? It should be one and the same thing.
Islam is the religion for Muslims. Muslims are Islamist.
Okay, Islam is the religion, right?
Yes.
One and the same thing. Mohammed started it with, and the god is Allah. Right.
Allah, that's right. Allah, the fake moon god, Allah. And you hear most of the media, if a Muslim says Allah or Allah Akbar, or where they're screaming God is great, Allah is great, the media will tell you they're talking about God. They're not talking about God. They're talking about a fake, phony, false moon god back of the Bedouins that worship the moon god. And that was the god that Muhammad decided to follow, and it's the moon god today. It is not Allah. Yes. I mean, it is not the God, the creation God. And Muhammad was not Jesus Christ. And may I say, Quran is a lie from the pits of hell. Go ahead.
Yes. Muhammad came up about 600 years after Jesus.
Right.
But what I'm, yes. you mentioned something about our problem is not, but it is, the problem is idiots. And that really is an, seemed real to me, real, because I see America and the rest of the world, but Europe, the countries in Europe and Great Britain, you know, the stupidity is just alarming. Because a religion that come and say, we believe that kill the infidels until every man acknowledge that there is no God but Allah. And believe it, you're not preaching and accepting, giving people a chance to convert to the, you can kill everybody unless they convert. How could we recognize that as a valid religion? You know, and then allow it, you know, it's so dangerous in what it believes. And why would you play around, take so much chance, bring them into your country and leave them to do as they like? They come to your country and they don't come to assimilate with our way of life. They come to practice their way of life in our country. Then those people needed to stay in their own country, practicing Sharia law in Great Britain and the rest of Europe. That's
Lily,
what's going on.
Lily, you're exactly
right. Yes.
You're exactly right. And for the sake of time, let me just simply underpin what you're saying. If you are coming to America, there needs to be a cultural transition where you're going to apply culture in America, you're going to obey American law, you're going to submit to the Constitutional Republic, you're going to be willing to pledge the flag and support all that America supports, and that is a God-created nation called America, and that's the reason that we talk about in God we trust on our coinage and currencies. Don't come to America as a young man that's in Milwaukee that's running for, I believe it's either city council or mayor, that says he wants to bring the Nigerian culture to America. If that's the mindset, stay in Nigeria. Stay in whatever nation you're in. Don't come and try to overthrow, tear down, and destroy America. That should be our mindset. That should be the culture. And by the way, in some nations, like going back to, as I spoke earlier about the Netherlands, some of the laws now, they will not allow an Islamic to run for office and become part of the political machine. And that's what I think we need to do in America. Lily, we've got some other callers I've got to get to, but thank you so much for your call today, and God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe Greg is on the line. Greg, go over the question or comment, please.
Isn't it interesting how quickly the narrative changes with your leftist-controlled mainstream media? You know, whenever there's a shooting, of course, like this most recent shooting in New York, they, I think, presumptuously, hopefully, wanted to identify this suspect as white. You know, and, of course, if the suspect happens to be identified as a conservative, a Republican, or a Christian, they're going to focus on that, the radicalization, the violence of the right. As a matter of fact, they've been talking about the violence of the right for a decade and a half. However, the violence, by and large, is on the left. Mm-hmm. The leftists stoke the violence, prod the violence, encourage the violence, and then accuse the right of being violent. As a matter of fact, as you look at a map of the United States, the vast majority of the landmass, all of rural America, is deep red. It's conservative. It's Republican. It identifies as Christian. You know, it's the Bible Belt, if you will, of America, not just that narrow portion. But if you go into the countryside, you go into rural areas, you find churches and you find churchgoers much more so than the dense, blue, leftist cities. So if you take, again, this map and say it's 95 or 96 or 97% red, county by county, that's the way the map looks. Do you understand? That's where the guns are owned in America. The huge, overwhelming portion of the population in red America, they own, or we own, guns. Do you know where the violence is? Yeah, those little blue dots that you see on the map. The left control, Democrat controlled cities on the map, counties on the map, jurisdictions on the map. That's where the violence is. However, that's those people in those cities that control those cities and those people that control that party in D.C., they would like to take away the gun rights, the Second Amendment rights, the God-given rights in our Constitution. They don't take care of their own house. They don't take care of the criminal element that they encourage in their own house. No, they want to control those on the right, those that are conservative, those that are God-fearing within America. It is a perverse and twisted world we live in today.
Absolutely. And one of the things that you see to underpin what you're saying is Karen Bass in L.A. She embraces the violence. She is a socialist Marxist communist at heart, and she's embracing that. She's against the federal government sending in troops to collect up those Islamic jihadists and the illegal invaders that have come in. She's against that. Look at the mayor of Chicago. He says they have a lower rate of violence in Chicago than other places, when just 2 weeks it was the July the 4th weekend, I believe 50 people were shot in Chicago alone. And yet we have on the left, the blue cities, the blue states, that are the promulgators of the violence, and yet they say, that, as you said, they want to take away our guns. One quick question, Greg. Should Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and parts of the DOJ, the FBI, the CIA, etc., should those players in the Russiagate lie, should they go to jail?
If you're involved in the attempted overthrow of our government, I believe that's a treasonous act, and it deserves the punishment that accompanies a treasonous act. Here's the thing. If this is not literally fully aired and fully prosecuted, the next time leftists are in control, we will lose America. Mm-hmm. We will lose America because they will use every, they did. They used every single tool at their disposal. They committed criminal malfeasance in office. That's wrongdoing in office. They used the power of their office to literally not only try to undermine, to destroy. They wanted to put Donald Trump in prison for 700 years. And you know what? The left is still screaming things like Trump-Russia collusion, even though that's completely been disproved. They're screaming 34 felonies. How many times have we heard that? 34 felonies. I always ask, tell me which felony are we talking about, the mattress tag felony or the double parking felony, because you know what? They cannot articulate the felony that Donald Trump supposedly committed. It's heinous to realize, it's a heinous act on their part to use the accoutrements, the tentacles of government to try to politically gain and maintain power and destroy an incoming democratically elected. They always like to use the word Democrat, you know, democracy. Well, there was an election in the which Donald Trump won overwhelmingly twice. Maybe three times. And what did they do? Literally before he could go into office, they used every tool in the tool belt to try to undermine the incoming administration, to hamstring the incoming administration. Now, for any of you leftists out there listening, what if the same thing were done to Joe Biden? What if the same thing were done to Bill Clinton? What if the same thing were done to Barack Obama? You'd be screaming from the housetops, from the rooftops, it's a treasonous act. Folks, you need to open your eyes, because you do not want a truly tyrannical government taking over, in the which you have no voice in the future, in the which they can fabricate out of thin air millions of votes because they are in power. They can fabricate out of thin air a stack of felonies to put your butt in prison. If they literally, I don't know if it is much as Donald Trump has his personal flaws, and sometimes I go, man, I'll tell you what, he still doesn't have a filter. His decisions are good decisions, and many of them, most of them, good decisions, good outcomes. And regardless of if you like him or don't like him, he was properly elected. If you want to see a peaceful transfer of power, because the left always talks about that, that's a sign of a genuine democracy and a genuine whatever. We have the
Greg,
peaceful transfer of power. That's not what it was.
Right. Greg, we got just a few seconds left. What should Christians do? How should conservatives respond to what we see, what we hear, what we know? Very quickly, share with us.
Well, first off, the scripture.